Welcome to Refuge. I am glad you're here. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about identity. And last week, I asked a very specific question. Last week, I asked, who are you? Who are you? Some of you, I don't know if you actually did this or not, but I'm going to give you a few minutes to think about this again. And just, I'm going to ask you the question right now. Who are you? And this is not one of those easy questions to answer. It's not one of those simple things where you can just say, well, I am my name. You're more than your name. You're more than your height. You're more than the color of your skin. You're more than what grade you are in school. You're more than any of those things. So the great question is, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? I'm going to pray and ask that the living God would come and be with us tonight. Lord Jesus, this is such a great question that we often don't know how to answer. So we ask that you would be with us and begin to reveal yourself and how you fit into who we are, Lord. Be with us tonight. Help us to draw upon you. And I just ask that it would not be me, that you would speak tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. So I asked you guys last week, who are you? And we went through a variety of things. And I said, you know, one of the things that happens a lot is people start to classify who they are based on how much money they have. That's one of the first indicators. Who are you? Well, I talk about my money. Who are you? I talk about my possessions. Who are you? I talk about family. I talk about my parents. I talk about my siblings. Who are you? I talk about the clothes that I wear. I talk about the classes I take. I talk about who my friends are. And all of those things are beginning of an understanding of who you are. But that's not really who you are. You see, you are who God says you are. We're going to talk a bit about that, but we're also going to mention the fact that you have this enormous impact. You have this body of choices that you can make that will alter the answer to the question, who are you? The answer to the question is ultimately going to be up to you, and you're going to find that out. So in my attempt to answer the question for myself last week, I talked to you guys and told you, this is who I am. I am a child of the Most High God. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer that Jesus Christ really is God. He is who he says he is. And that's the first thing about who I am. That's my identity. I've been born again. I am new because of Jesus. The second thing that I am a husband to Suzanne. That's part of my identity. Is in that relationship. I'm a husband to my wife. I'm a father to my children. So that's all wrapped up in my identity. That's who I am. But also, I'm a youth pastor. And last week I mentioned there are jobs like working at Kmart. There are careers like being a teacher, and there's nothing wrong with either of those things. I've had jobs and I've had a career. And then there's when your life is your work, and your work is your life. And it just happens that that's true for me. And that's true for some teachers, and that's true for some people in the medical field, and that's true for some people in, you know, attorney's offices or whatever. But most people don't feel that way about what they do. But I do. Because God has written on my heart this word, pastor. It's part of my identity. It's who I am. I don't stop being a pastor when I walk out the doors of this place. I don't stop being a pastor when I'm at my house. I don't stop being a pastor when I'm on vacation. I don't stop being a pastor when I'm at my parents' house. It's just part of my identity. It's who God's called me to be. And what I want you guys to get to the place of is this. The first thing that I talked about with my identity was I'm a Christian. That's the number one aspect of my identity. And so that's either true for you or it's not true for you. And I can't answer that for you. But that's the first question that's wrapped up in this identity question. Who are you? You're either a follower of Jesus Christ. You have been a follower of Jesus Christ. You've kind of walked away, but you're hoping to get back there. Or you're just curious about who Jesus is. And I don't know which thing you are. Maybe you're sold out. Maybe you're in. Maybe you're on fire. Maybe, so let me define that. Maybe you read your Bible on your own without anybody telling you to. What? I know, there are people, they actually read the Bible on their own. I'll tell you a story. I was at Kelseyville High School today, and I brought 6 pizzas, and they were gone in 5 minutes. It was actually kind of crazy. I'll bring more pizza next time, so I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. Deep in my heart, I'm sorry. I'll bring more pizza next time. But I was at Kelseyville High School today, and I had students actually interact with me differently than they have in the past. See, in the past, I've been bringing pizza for a while now. And I've been dropping by, just meeting students, just saying hello. No pressure. I wasn't, saying you have to come to Refuge or you can't have pizza. I didn't say any of that. I didn't even say you have to know really who I am. I said, you have to shake my hand and tell me who you are. And I actually had kids stay and hang out a little bit with me today. And it was this funny thing because I started this story, and I'm not telling this for shock value, but I heard a really interesting debate, and you can roll your eyes now because I'm going to talk about debate for 2 seconds. Okay, so I heard this interesting debate, and it was interesting to me, about how far down the road in culture you get as a church. And there's a church who on Sunday morning, so get your picture Sunday morning, right? Okay. Sunday morning, mom and dad has the suit, tie, coat, right? Shines his shoes. It's Easter. It's Easter, for heaven's sake, right? Shines his shoes, and mom has the pretty dress, and then the little boys and the little girls with the cute, tiny little suits and jackets and ties, right? Because it's Easter. You guys have all been, even if you've never been in church, you've still seen Easter on TV. You know Easter is special for Christians. And so this pastor made this decision on Easter Sunday, his band, first thing, they come in, they greet you, welcome, we're so glad you're here. First song the band plays is Hell's Bells. Yeah, that's by AC/DC. Hell's Bells by AC/DC. The purpose was, and so let me explain the purpose, because this pastor did a really good job of explaining. He said the purpose was not for shock value, because there's a lot of people that just want to be shocked. You know, it wasn't that. It was this. On Easter Sunday, people that don't normally come to church, come to church. People who don't know Jesus, come to church on Easter. They show up because it's Easter. So there's something significant. By the way, Easter is the day we celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead. It's a big deal. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. So he said there are people here who don't know Jesus. And the reason I played Hell's Bells is this. There were people in my congregation who were answering the bell. The bell of hell is going off. It's clanging and it's going off. And people are answering the bell. And they're on their way to hell. Far be it from me to not warn them and say, hey, hell is a real place, and you're really going there if you don't know Jesus Christ. So I thought that was brilliant. So I'm having this conversation with this kid at Kelseyville High School, and he's like, what does happen when you die? I thought, that's a great question. That's a great question. What happens when you die? He says, do you believe in reincarnation? No, I don't. I don't believe. If you're good, you come back as someone better. And if you're bad, you come back as a dung beetle. Doesn't work for me. So what do you believe? Well, so I shared with him. I believe in the Bible. And he said, you've read the Bible? Fair question. He doesn't know me. I'm just some guy. My name is Pastor Chris. I've read the Bible. So I said to him, yes, I've read the whole thing from cover to cover more than once. And he's like, dude, more than once? Yeah, because here's what I believe. If you really love Jesus, if you're really a follower of him, if the first question about your identity is, do you follow Jesus Christ or don't you? Part of that is reading this. And so I told him, it's not like I sit down for 11 hours out of every day and read the Bible. That would be a lot. But I do read it a little bit every day. Because it's, you guys are going to think this is crazy. It's interesting to me. It's more than just a bunch of stories. It's more than just a bunch of weird names that don't make sense. I mean, there's some of that in there, and there's some weird stuff in the Old Testament. I'm not even kidding. Like talking donkeys and the whole bit. So there really is weird stuff in there. But the truth is, the number one way that God reveals himself to us is this. And we're going to get into this in a little bit. So there's a question hanging. Who are you? Who are you? And the first part of the answer is, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian who's struggling and I'm trying to get back in God's good graces. Or, I'm not a Christian, but I'm curious. Those are kind of the three. You mean, you're either with God and you're trying to get closer to God. You're with God, you're walking away from God. You're already away from God and you're still walking away from God. Or you're away from God, but you're at least curious. You're thinking about, how does this fit together? Is there really a God? Is Jesus really who he says he is? How does this work? One of those things has to be true. And so I would invite you to help answer the question for yourself, to look in the mirror. When we're curious about what's going on with us, what's the first thing we do? When somebody says to you, dude, you got a little bit, immediately you want to go see in the mirror. What's going on with me? Tyler needs to go look in the mirror. He's afraid he's got like a little bit of maybe some dinner left in the corner of his mouth or something, right? When somebody says, what's going on with your eyebrow? Dude, who's got a mirror or some kind of reflective thing? I mean, we want to look at ourselves in the mirror. And I don't want to be sexist, but girls, you're horrible about this. I don't even know. I've talked to girls who like, well, yeah, I might spend 6 hours in front of the mirror every day. Like, what? That's unhealthy. There's something wrong with that. But anyway, I don't want to get wrapped up into that. I just want to say this. When there's something going on with you, you look in the mirror. You look in the mirror. And if you're not sure who you are, if you don't know the answer to the question, then go to the mirror. Go to the mirror. And I've got the mirror right here. So everybody grab a Bible. You've got a Bible next to you, right? There's a blue one somewhere nearby. There's a Bible for you. If you need a Bible, I've got some extras. Who needs a Bible? You need one? Look at that. There's an extra one there. There's some more hanging out. Get a Bible. We're going to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. By the way, I really believe that this book is true. It's 100% true. It's not 99% true. It's not partially true. There's not some truth in it and some misconception in it. There's not a bunch of nonsense in it. It is true. The whole thing. Just the way it's written. It's true. Matthew chapter 5. What page is that on? 671? It's on page 671. Matthew chapter 5, it's on page 671. Jesus creates a mirror. Jesus creates a mirror for us. And it's not a physical mirror like you might think of, but it's a mirror of reflectiveness of what he has designed and desires for us. This is how he designed us to live. And we're going to be talking about this for a while. But this is the beginning of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And in this, Jesus sat down and he started teaching his disciples because he wanted them to know what it should look like. When you're doing this right, what should it look like? And here's the thing. So quit reading and look at my face for a minute. There's this great temptation to look at this as a list of rules. I don't know about you, but I hate rules. Part of the reason I hate rules is because rules don't work, right? If the speed limit is 50, how fast do you want to go? Whatever it is, it's more than 50, right? If you're fishing and the limit is 3 fish, how many do you want to catch? 20. At least 4, maybe as many as 20. If your parents say, be home by 10, What time do you want to come home at? 3 in the morning. Tomorrow. Whatever it is, rules are irritating. They bother us. And there's that famous saying that Jeff just said, rules are made to be broken. Right? Right? No, that's not true at all. Lord have mercy. So this is not a list of rules, okay? So nod your head if you understand what I'm saying. This is not a list of rules. Praise the Lord. It's not a list of rules. Okay. Because that's important for us. It's not a list of rules. This is Jesus saying, look into the mirror. Look into the mirror. So here's the mirror. Ready? Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Everybody say glad. Glad, be glad. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is very confusing. And some of you have been around a while. I've preached on this a few times, and this will be the last time I go over this, just so you take a deep breath. Okay, but this is the mirror. So the question is, who are you? And part of that answer is found in the mirror, because your reflection is part of who you are. And this is a mirror for us. And the second thing that I asked after who are you is, are you a Christian? And this is it right here in a nutshell. This is Jesus' description of Christianity. It's right here. And he starts with, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. And some of you know what this means and some of you don't, so I'm going to be brief. Poor in spirit means I recognize I cannot buy heaven. I can't buy it. I can't work hard enough. I can't do good enough. I can't be nice enough. It doesn't matter how obedient I am to my parents. It doesn't matter how good I do on my tests and quizzes. It doesn't matter how hard I work at my job. It doesn't matter how nice I am to my siblings. Now, you should do all of those things, okay? You should do all of those things. It says later, everything you do, do to the glory of God. So if you're not doing your best, you're not glorifying God. But it doesn't get you to heaven. Doing good stuff doesn't get you to heaven. It doesn't. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you recognize you don't have what it takes to get there on your own, then you recognize you need a Savior. And that's when you are blessed. Okay? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This is not going to a funeral and being all sad. Make a sad sound for me. 1, 2, 3. That's your funeral sound? Like grandma just died and you're going to go, oh, seriously? No, that's sad. Was that a sneeze right there? Okay, Lord help us. That's funny. Okay, so that's not what this is talking about. When you recognize you can't buy your way to heaven, you can't do good enough stuff, you can't be righteous enough, no matter how many hours you volunteer, it's not going to work. Watch this now. Ready? I'm going to hit on myself. Even if you're a pastor, you can't do good enough. Doing good does not get you to heaven. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a pastor. I'm not going to heaven because I preach a sermon. I'm not going to heaven because I love students and I hang out with them and I buy them pizza. It's not why I'm going to heaven. Well, some of them pizza. Yeah, I know. And you. Okay, but when you recognize you can't get it that way, that you need a Savior, then you begin to mourn because you realize that you can't do it on your own. And that is sad. We are Americans. We want to do it our way. dang it. We do. We have an independent spirit within us that says, I can do it on my own. Some of you remember this when, even when you were a little kid. And your parents said, put on your shoes. And you sat down to put on your shoes, but your fingers weren't quite nimble enough to make the little bows happen. Like the rabbit through around the foxhole thing and whatever it is that they teach children how to tie their shoes. And your parent comes along and starts to tie your shoes for you. And what did you say? I do it myself! And we're all still four. We're just at different levels of development. Because that's how we want to do it with God. I can do it myself. And then you realize you can't do it yourself. And so you mourn. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Okay, I'm just going to say this about meek one time, and we're going to move on. This is what it means to be meek, in a nutshell. To listen to other people. Oh dear. So that means if somebody else has something to say against you, even if it irritates you, even if it ticks you off, even if it's the same person who said the thing over and over and over and over, you listen. That is so hard. So hard. It doesn't mean you have to do exactly what everyone else says, because that would be ludicrous. But it does mean you have to listen and weigh it out and pray about it and think about it and make sure that if it lines up with the Word of God, then you start to do it. Be meek, to listen to what other people have to say. To be meek, those will inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is what it means. This is, if we did this. To be righteous means to be right with God. And it doesn't say, blessed are those who are righteous, because none of us are righteous. I'm about to start preaching now. None of us are righteous. I'm not righteous and neither are you. None of us are righteous. It doesn't say that. It says hunger and thirst for righteousness. And you guys all know what it's like to be hungry because you're teenagers and you've been hungry. You have felt hunger. And when you're hungry, you have a desire to find food. And if you need to push your friend out of the way to get to the nachos, you'll do it. Get out of the way! I need some nachos! I'm hungry! But will you do the same thing when it comes to righteousness? Will you push the same brother out of the way when he's leading you down the path of destruction? Will you push the same brother out of the way when he's tempting you with your favorite sin? Get out of the way. I'm hungry for righteousness. I have a desire to be right with God. It's more important than popularity. It's more important than food. I have a desire to be right with God. That's my hunger. And I'll tell you, when you're right with God, you feel at peace and there is joy in your heart and there's nothing else like it. And when you're not at right with God and you have been right with God, you feel more miserable than you could ever feel with anything else going on. Hunger has nothing compared to knowing you're not right with God. And some of you guys are there right now. And you know you need to get right with God. Something going on and you need to repent, confess your sins, and get right with God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Number 7 is, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. This is as straightforward as it sounds. If you're kind and gentle and generous with others, then God will be kind and gentle and generous with you. It's a straightforward principle. You reap what you sow. Number 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That is as simple as it sounds also. There's a purity in your motives. I don't know if you guys know this. I have an accountability partner. I meet with him every week. And for me, sin is no longer doing the huge balloon sin thing. Right? There are a bunch of sins that I have in my life. So let's just pick on one. Let's say that my favorite sin is gossip. I pick on gossip a lot because high schoolers love to gossip, and it kills me. It kills me. Absolutely kills me. And it's not just girls either. Boys like to gossip too, so don't go there. So let's just pretend my favorite sin is gossip. I am not at the place anymore where I call people up and say, did you hear about so-and-so? They are pregnant, out of wedlock, and they are going to hell. Right? I don't do, that's not where I am at right now. Here's where I'm at. Ready for this? When I move toward my sin, I count it as sin. When I move toward my sin, I count it as sin. And that's me, and I'm not saying you have to be me and we have to be equal and all of that stuff. What I'm saying is this: blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. You see, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then your first desire is to be right with God. Your secondary desire is for sin. So, which desire is going to win out? Okay, we're going to move on. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. I could talk about this one for an hour. But basically, peacemaker is somebody who brings peace to a situation. And who's the Prince of Peace? Thank you. Let's do this one more time. Who's the Prince of Peace? That was awesome. Who's the Prince of Peace? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. When you bring Jesus to a situation, you're bringing peace. You're introducing peace. You're a peacemaker. You're bringing peace. Peacemakers will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. This is our absolute favorite one, right? When people wreck you because you love Jesus, you're supposed to jump up and down. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's what Jesus says. When people are undermining you, when they're saying bad things about you, when they won't invite you, when they won't even talk to you or return your texts, because you have a relationship with Jesus, it's persecution. And he has said, we need to rejoice in persecution. This is the mirror. This is the introduction to the mirror. And we're going to be talking about this more and more as we go on and on. But this is the introduction to the mirror. And I want you guys to get this. If you love Jesus, you strive to look like this. And if you don't, you don't. There's a guy I know, his name is Joel Johnson. And he says it a different way, and I'm going to play the video. This is how he says it.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough, fears of my adversaries. Negotiate at the table of my enemy or ponder at the pool of popularity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I've stayed up, bored up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ.
We will
found in Christ? Are you a new creation? The old is gone and the new has come. You've been redeemed, purchased, washed, cleansed, freed, released by the blood of the Lamb, the risen Savior? Or are you fighting and struggling, wishing you knew, trying to find, can't figure out because you're lost, you're in the dark. It's like swimming where there's no shore. And no matter where you go, you can't find, you can't reach, you can't breathe, you can't go, you can't do anything. And you're just hoping that you get some help before you drown. Jesus is the answer. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Those were his words. That's what he said. That's his promise. Some of us need to confess of our sins and repent and be washed and cleansed and put away those things and walk and look in the mirror and see the reflection. And when we look and we see Jesus Christ staring back at us with a smile on his face saying, "I love you." And some of us, we're already there. He is the image of who we are. We are made in his likeness and we look like Jesus. We just need help to carry on. Bible says, "Do not weary in doing good." But it is hard. It is hard to be righteous. It is hard. In the video, it talks about being lonely. Being a leader is being lonely. So here's my question to you. Do you need help? Are you a follower of Jesus and you're already there and you're already trying, and this list is a reflection and you're trying to live as a way to reflect Jesus Christ and make these things true in your own heart, but you just need a little help? If that's you, I want to pray for you. I had a tough experience recently. I went to pray at the pole and two kids showed up and it broke my heart. Not because I expected a great multitude, but it broke my heart because there were students there who knew Jesus who didn't come and pray with us because the popularity was more important than the position of being Jesus' child, being his love. And it broke my heart and it made me sad. And I began to write a list of students' names. And I began to look at the students and look at the list and look at who they were and what their position was and what they needed. And I began to pray over the list. And I think that God is changing some things about me and the way I do ministry. And one of those things is I want to be more interactive with individuals. And I want to pray for you. So if this list is what you want in your heart, I want you to stand up so I can pray for you. If this list is what you want in your heart, I want you to stand up right now. This is my desire. This is my hope. This is the thing I'm after. This is what I long for. Stand up. And let me pray for you. Holy Spirit, come. You see these young people with their desire to be like you. It is their desire to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So I pray you come now. Oh Lord, it is so hard to carry on day after day and be righteous. It is so hard to turn from sin, to walk in holiness. It is so hard to remember that we can't do it on our own, that we don't have the strength to do it on our own. It is so hard when it breaks us in half because we are so independent and we have to stop and wail and mourn at the foot of the cross and say, I need you. I can't do it. Help us to listen for your voice, whether that comes through a crackle of thunder, or it comes through your word, or it comes through a parent or a friend. Help us to listen for your voice. Help us to have a hunger for you, a hunger that we can't be satisfied with the food of this world. We can't be satisfied with the things of this life because they only lead to destruction. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us. Move in our hearts tonight. Begin to change us from the inside out. Remind us of what we ought to look like as your children. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here's the story. I want to pray with more of you, but it's weird in this big group. So I'm going to stay. I'm going to ask my wife to stay, some of the other leaders to stay. If you've got specific stuff that this spoke to your heart and you need to confess sin, or you just need somebody to pray with you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to lift you up, to build you up, then stay and we'll pray with you because we love you. Because we love you. So in that, you are dismissed.